Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode here on Tales from the Wandering Scribe. I am your host, Gabriel Garcia, otherwise known as the Wandering Quill and the Wandering Scribe. Welcome to another historian's interview. My guest today is Patrick Little, a fellow historian and podcaster who lives all the way in Queensland, Australia. He is a graduate with a degree in history and began podcasting on his own show back in 2020, which delves to tell stories in a cheeky, comedic, fun way, and very authentic and truthful, which I love. I love when history is told correctly and authentically, and it doesn't hurt to have a little fun at it now and then. And to tell us more about his background and his show, let's give a huge round of applause to our guest all the way from down under, Patrick Little. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello. Thank you, Gabriel. Thanks for having us. I'm humbled, to be honest, to be in to be on the show, but also to be in the esteemed company of everyone who, past and present, who's been on the show. I mean, it's very, very humbling. So thank you for having me. And thank you for watching, guys.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you. Now, what can you tell us about your background? So how did you decide that history was something that you wanted to pursue? And also, how did the idea of your podcast come about? In your bio, you said it came about in 2020, which that was around the height of the lockdown. So how did those two sort of come together?
To answer the first question, history is something that's always, I guess, been really important to me in any state. I've had my father from a young age, he was in the army, and so he'd tell me a lot about Australia's involvement in, you know, various campaigns in, you know, the Second World War and such like that. So I've grown up with a healthy respect of Australian military history. But also just any time I'm in, I find some sort of a historical story that I'm into, it generally gets me going. And for the show itself, like you said, came about in 2020. So when lockdown was really coming into effect. And for me, I've always liked to tell stories and relate what I learn to others. And so me and my middle brother, Matthew, who is actually the guest on the first ever episode of not counting the pilot, little history, and we were basically talking about I can't even remember which historical figure it was, but we were talking about it, and I was just basically telling the rundown of what he'd done and all that jazz, and he goes, look, we should probably just start a podcast and talk about this in that format. And I was like, all right, sure, this sounds great. I've got nothing but time at the moment being stuck at home for 3.5 months. So yeah, it sort of came about like that, quite a strange organic thing, but also something that came about like so many other podcasts in about 2020, just everyone had a bit more time and thought, let's get creative and talk about what we're passionate about.
Definitely. I can 100% agree. When I actually started my podcast, it was like a later half, like just around the end time. So I completely understand, you know, everyone having time on their hands and creating new things, either books, podcasts, music, and etc. Now, for those that are first timers here on the show and hearing about this for the first time, Patrick, what can you tell us about the show, like its name, its overall goal, and sort of like the need or desire you want to satisfy for new listeners of the show, and your overall promise with every episode?
Okay. All right. So a little history podcast, a little play on words, my surname being Little. So I thought let's just have that one. Nice little package there. In terms of the show, we try to present history or historical stories. In this case, the first two seasons that we're up to is all mythology and folklore from various cultures from around the world. So it's about presenting those stories in a new light, something that's fun, something that's engaging, a little bit cheeky, with a lot of random segues, usually going down pop culture references as well as just absolute buffoonery. So just all that comes together to make a little history just the strange experience that it is. I guess the promise that I made to myself was to hope, you know, what came out of just telling stories was to the promise now being to try to be a bit of a bridge for those who those who were at like maybe a high school level or a little bit younger who were interested in history but maybe didn't get quite the engagement that they wanted or didn't know they want back at that sort of stage in their lives. And now a little bit later on in life, they go, wow, I've always been interested in history, but I never knew how to go about it, or I just didn't quite get that right teacher or that right person in their younger years to get them engaged. So hopefully I can be that person, but also just having that person, having that engagement with that sort of demographic, but also with the people who have studied history at a tertiary level and above the academics and all that, they can all come down and basically just have a bit of fun listening to this new or this different telling of a story. Not so much different, but a different way of telling a story like that, and just have a bit of fun.
And also awesome.
On my pronunciations.
Nice. That's the thing about like historians. We all want to help each other because, you know, being a historian, like it's a very, very small community. Yes, we are everywhere, but it comes about, you know, what we're working on. We're all in different fields. We're all trying to make new things because being a historian, you have to make your own career. Yes, you can be like a classical historian. You could be a medievalist. You could be an East Asian, pre-modern, modern, etc. But being a historian, you kind of get to make your own career. You could be, you know, independent article writer for magazines, podcasting. It could be making videos like Armchair Historian, Alternative History, and just to name a few. There's a whole bunch of other avenues for history lovers. And kind of on that topic of, you know, creating content. So, Patrick, when you began this journey, what was sort of like the initial feedback like, especially when you pumped out your very, very first episode? As a little tangent, how many episodes are you at right now in the present?
Cool. Okay. So we'll go reactions first. I guess people were really, really excited, but there are a lot of people who were sort of not surprised.
Okay.
That I did create one. I think they're probably... I think maybe a little bit surprised at how long it took me to do it, because they go, this guy just loves talking history. I mean, I was the person in high school and afterwards that at parties, people would be like, oh, ask Pat, he's the history guy.
That same. I know the feeling.
That's it. It was great. People were like, oh, tell us about this. I'm like, well, I don't know all about it because you can't know all of history because it's a pretty big thing. Pretty big thing. But it's for a lot of people, they were like, wow, it's about time you kind of did something with that, where you can sort of blend all the things about my wacky personality and have it in something that, you know, comes out episodically.
So that's, nice.
Yeah. So people were pretty much very excited by it. And just the feedback from a lot of first time listeners who sort of were in the same boat as the younger, that demographic we were talking about before, who were interested in history, but didn't quite feel like they could engage with it back in the day. And they were like, wow, this is great. It's made me want to research more about this story or this topic. And that's a really good feeling when you feel like you can, like you've help somebody's history journey along. It's a really cool thing. And sorry, what was the second part of the second question?
The second part was like currently right now, like how many like episodes do you have like on your podcast as of now?
Oh yeah, okay. So we've got 39 official episodes up now. Episode 39 was released, I think, about 3 weeks ago now. Release schedule is a little bit, it's not as on the clock as yourself, Gabrielle. I'm a little bit delayed with children and what they bring to the table. It was Eat Into Daddy's podcast time. 39 official episodes with about, I think it's 6 to 7 collaborative episodes, bonus content where we watch, myself and fellow podcasters watch or review movies like ancient history movies, mainly mythology like Clash of the Titans.
Oh, nice.
Yep. And just really, what was the big one? I should remember. That's one of my episodes. Immortals. That's the one. Henry Cavill, the story.
Oh, yes. I completely forgot about that movie.
Yeah, a lot of people did. So did we. I think one of the guys in it, I think it was, might have been Patrick from Cloak and Dagger podcast. We were like, oh, let's do the Immortals movies. Like, what? What was that? Let's get tucked in and we'll have a look at it and see what's there. So yeah, we're looking at a bit over 52 plus hours of podcasting fun on the show. So that's yeah. So we've got a bit going and still a lot to come as well. So that's
wow, that's actually pretty cool. And kind of leaning on to what you said about your promise. Looking back now at all the episodes that you made, do you feel that your promise has been validated from the response? And as an added bonus, what has probably been the most listened to episode or episodes of your podcast?
I feel like, okay, so the promise being validated, I feel like I have validated it. When I started it, I had a mind to not just talk about the story, but really research it and tell, when it comes to mythology, folklore, as well as history, some elements mm-hmm. of it. There's a lot of different interpretations of it, especially when it comes to like Greek mythology, for instance. We'll use that as an example. There's a lot of different versions of certain stories written at different times, and they incorporate different characters, different motivations, we'd say, maybe, and different outcomes in some small ways, or different steps to get towards the same finish. So I wanted to try to enter as many of those conflicting or slightly different interpretations of a story and bring it all together, bring pretty much all the juicy bits, and where it does kind of clash a little bit, talk about, discuss, I guess, why it might be different. You know, certain writers for different writing for a different audience, at a different time, and what that might mean. So, I feel like I have kept the promise to myself for that, and also to the listeners. So hopefully I can keep going with that one. It's a lot of effort to get the research going, but it's just a lot of fun to do. So that's kind of how I want to run my show. When I come to spoiler alert to everyone, when I come to season 3, I'll be going to be getting out of mythology and folklore and get into more historical periods. And
all right,
your listeners can be the first ones to know. We'll be doing the successor period, so straight after the untimely death of Alexander the Great, and
mm-hmm.
complete mess that all turned into. So I feel like that's going to have a little history stamp on that pretty pretty well, I think.
Nice. And that is actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because I can already imagine that episode is going to be really, really interesting, because if people really don't understand the death of Alexander and the history behind that, it's like a civil war of the ancient world at that time. I mean, his successors fought for control of his empire. He was solely intent of just conquering. He didn't really establish a government, and he modeled himself after the Persian government, which, for those who don't know, ancient Persia, they did have a king, they did have a monarchy, but the empire was so vast, he couldn't rule at all. So what he had were satraps. Satraps are governors who rule provinces. Here's the problem. Satraps were known to have autonomy over their regions to make their own independent kingdoms. That's what happened with Alexander the Great's empire. And I don't want to give any more details, because I want to let my friend Patrick have that. But it is a very fascinating period in the Greek world. And I actually can't wait for that. And that episode sounds so fascinating. So what other episodes would you say have been really fascinating to explore in mythology and in culture that you guys have looked at and really thought of, like, oh, wow, I didn't know about this?
All right, beautiful. I would say one of the earlier episodes I did was my first, I think would be the first epic, we would say, and it was the Epic of Gilgamesh, which I always heard about that in even secondary school, but in tertiary education, it was touched upon in a subject called Myth in the Ancient World, which I did at Macquarie Uni with the wonderful Ian Plant. Convening that one. He was great. But with that story, I went, oh, okay, I've got to research that and tell it. And it's such a fun story, of which I knew very little about. Ends up being a king who's not that great a dude at the beginning, and he turns out being pretty cool because he's humbled, and it's a lot of other bits in the middle that are really wacky and wild. So that was a really fun episode to explore. But a later episode I did was a two-parter on the Shuten Doji, which is a Japanese... Mm. Which I knew very little about Japanese mythology, even very little about Japanese culture. I think probably in my high school years, probably the best outlet I had for Japanese culture in general was The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise, which was fun. It was a fun movie, but doesn't quite, you're not gonna quote that in an essay or.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, but doing that, the Shuten Doji, it's a fanciful story. It's so magical. We've got a lot of contrivances, but man, it's a lot of fun. The villain's just inept, and he's quite hilarious as well. It's just good fun. It's really good fun. So those are probably the two ones I really enjoyed doing. But I did also do a collaboration episode with the Cloak and Dagger Boys. They're a great podcast, by the way, guys. If you come across them, definitely give them a spin. Where I did a guest spot where I talked about the assassination of Philip of Macedon, so Alexander's dad. So you definitely know that I'm into that sort of period in time. And that was a lot of fun. They just let me have the reins, and we went for a while. So that was good times.
Awesome. That's actually really, really nice. And if I also make a suggestion for a future episode, Patrick, for if you want to talk about a really interesting story, definitely look into the grass cutter myth of Japan. That sword is supposedly has a huge, rich history. And there's one other sword too. I've always been fascinated with like medieval blades or ancient blades that have a lot of history behind it. But definitely the grass cutter sword of Japan. It's definitely one to explore. And I also like you brought up a collaboration because that is huge in the historian's world because we all want to work together. We all want to help one another and be there for each other's successes. Absolutely. And I think that's important because, and now I'm going to go more so into the business side of the podcasting side, which is being an author, being a podcaster, being like an historian in any field, it's a lot of work. And especially in this industry, being a podcaster, it's a very lonely work. You create hours and hours of content. You don't know if it's going to resonate with the audience. And you may not get a lot of viewership. And that is a deflating moment because you're passionate about this. And I can tell that you're very passionate about this podcast and telling these stories and sharing it with everyone and bringing people back to the world of history and making people fall in love with these ancient stories. So for you, Patrick, what has disciplined you and continues to discipline you to create more episodes to do this incredible thing?
I think, yeah, you're right when you say podcasting is a lonely work, a lonely profession in that sort of way. But I think what the big drive is would be, even though I think it's remembering that even though you personally can be really into a topic subject and all that, life gets in the way, stuff happens, and you know your motivational levels do, you know, does ebb and flow, peaks and valleys and all that jazz. But in the end, it's something that I personally really love doing. It's something that I've sacrificed elements of my social life, for instance. Mm-hmm. But now I get to have all my internet friends. So that's a plus. But it's in the end, it's something that if I didn't do it, it wouldn't get done.
Mm.
So that's sort of the thing. I could be like, oh, I really like doing it. I really like this episode. There's times where on the back end of editing an episode, which spoiler alert for anybody looking to start a podcast, that's where the hours go into. When you're especially mine, where I've got all those silly sound effects that I record over it and all that. It's there's a lot of time in editing. So there's times when you're in the depth of editing where you're like, man, I do not want to be doing this on a Friday night. But in the end, it's something that I'm passionate about. And if I didn't do it, then it wouldn't get done and I'd have no one to blame but myself. So yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, it is true because I like what you said. If it doesn't get done, then it will never get done. You have to keep doing it. If this is something that you love, then you have to do it. And I remember one person said this. I don't know who exactly said it, but one person said, I want you to see where you are going to be in your life, in this career of yours or this passion of yours, and see the person doing it and see the benefits and see the struggles. And if you can honestly say that you're going to do that, have the same struggles, maybe not the exact same struggles, but definitely go through the trials and tribulations, you're going to do fine. If you're not going to do it, and you're not going to suffer as this person has suffered in the same field, then that's not the position for you. That's not the passion for you, or at least the field to present your passion. Oh, Patrick, can you still hear me?
Technical interference.
Sorry, guys. We were recording the first part for about 20 minutes, and then Australian internet cut us out. So we're back.
Yeah, don't worry. This won't be in the final cut. I promise. Okay.
I thought when you were doing the intro and then you see the books fall down from the top of the shelf, I was like, oh God, everything's happening today.
Oh no. I was asking something before and I lost my train of thought.
It's basically about what is the big motivator or driver.
Yes. And you did bring up like saying about, you know, struggles and everything, that if you believe that this is the field that you want to go to pursue your passion or show your passion, then do it, go for it. But absolutely, know that these are things that are with it, with podcasting, especially the long hours of edits. Everything is probably not going to work, or there may be some technical issues in the case right now, but that's beside the point. But there are going to be some hurdles in any field that you go to show your passion, and you have to accept that. And if you do, you'll absolutely be fine.
I agree.
Yes. And now kind of going on to the fun side of the interview. So Patrick, you said before that you do a lot of research to creating your scripts in your episodes. So what historians would you say do you research to really fine tune and tweak the history? And also, as an added bonus, what professors of history have really been role models for you in a discussion of history? Because I definitely feel that's a huge aspect for any historians. It's not so much knowing history, but it's how one presents history.
Absolutely. Yeah. For me, especially with the mythology and folklore side of things, especially with some of the, you know, Russian and Slavic folklore, you can be really restricted on what you can find. So mm-hmm. I've been prowling my university's library online, the online databases that you can find are amazing for what you can find in terms of dissecting a work and how that relates to a certain culture. Super, super relevant for that. So I usually go for that and have been tapping into a lot of my old mythology, or, you know, Myth in the Ancient World unit in uni. I've been tailing that book by Ian Plant because he's great with that and he discusses it really well. In terms of historians that kind of resonate with me, I think I remember one of my earliest ones would have been John Romer. The Egyptologist from, I think it's about the 70s and 80s. I think he
was okay
in that stuff. And I'm not sure if a bunch, because Egyptology is not my field, but I think he might have been debunked on a few things or not, or, you know, new research and all that. But the way he presented Egypt as a society, he brought along a lot more of the humane aspects, the everyday life duties of the average Egyptian, as well as, you know, what the pharaohs are doing at that time. So that really resonated with me, because when I grew up, it was all like, you know, like what we said, either in this recording or the one that's gone to the podcast gods. In school, you get names, you get dates.
Yes.
You hear about what happened or the experiences of the average worker in the fields who went to work and, you know, constructing the tomb in the Valley of the Kings, or, you know, even a court scribe, what was he up to in the time? So I found John was really, really good at bringing that side of life of ancient, or that side of ancient life to the average listener or viewer at that stage. So that was really cool. In terms of historians that I kind of look up to, I had a really good moment with one of my professors, Professor Ian Worthington, who is when it comes to Hellenic history, which I believe yourself as well in that sort of field as well, Gabrielle. So a lot of Hellenistic age and all that. He's done a lot of research on Alexander the Great, Philip of Macedon, the classical Greece into the Hellenistic period. So he was my mentor for my research paper for my my capstone unit. And he was really, I mean, I've read his work before, and it was really, really, he was really great, because you could tell he's really, like, every historian and every teacher I've spoken about, either in this episode or the one that's to the podcast gods, they're so into what they're talking about, and there's so much enthusiasm and
yes,
as well. And he was really good, as you can tell, and the listeners can tell. I do like to ramble sometimes and go talking, so that's kind of how I am with my research as well. So with this research paper, we only we were able to choose the topic and the question, so that was double trouble for me, because I was like, I want to talk about everything to do with the Hellenistic.
Ooh, okay,
and you know, I think the paper itself was about 5,000 words. So Ian was like, actually, let's narrow that down, because I wanted to talk about how the how various successor rulers in the basically the line straight after Alexander's death, how I wanted to discuss how it was they came about assuming, stop pretending to be Alexander per se, and carry the role, or, you know, wear the mantle of kingship in their own right. And my question to myself was, when did Ptolemy I, who's he took over Egypt, for those who didn't know, he's my question was, at what point did he start doing all the things that a ruler does and kind of see himself as a king or pharaoh,
right,
in relation to when he officially put on the diadem, or the you know, put on the crown.
So, right. So
he was, Ian was a really good focuser for me, because I was like, I wanted to talk about three or four of the rulers there. And he goes, look, that's a really great idea for a book, but if you're going to write a research paper, you really got to narrow it down to one of those rulers, and you can really flesh it out. And yeah, he really helped to sort of just, I guess, focus me a little bit more on my what I wanted to study, or how I wanted to go about answering my question. And it was a really successful paper. So and it's really great. I just love reading his works, and I love the way he approaches it as well. So yeah.
Awesome. And actually, just like one of my old professors at university as well, Professor Campbell, who was my classical teacher, he taught Roman history, Greek history, and he was awesome. He had no filter when it came to talking about the Romans. He's like, the Romans were this, everything you know is wrong. And he simply, I've had him like three times during my year or 2 years in university for my master's degree in history. And I learned so much from him. I learned about the late antiquities period, the Roman Republic era, and almost just like you, like I had to do a paper on a topic in question, and it was actually on the successor states and what does it mean for when an empire collapses. And I looked at an analysis between the Western Roman Empire and the Empire of Alexander the Great, and looking at, well, what sort of led to the collapse, and can we call them truly empires that have collapsed? Because their culture still exists. The idea of what it meant to be Greek existed in the regions that persisted in the successor states. And Alexander, like, as you mentioned, Ptolemy in Egypt, and this, of course, the Seleucids in Seleucia, and the Macedonian successor states. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is incredible. There's a lot. There's so many. And it is very fascinating. And kind of like you, he had to tell me, narrow it down. Just focus on those two. Don't actually go branching out to all these successor states, but just narrow down in on a few. And that kind of goes back into like the audience for like any paper. Like when you're writing a term paper, you're writing for a specific audience, and you really want to nail it in on that audience. So going now into podcasting, how important do you feel, in your opinion, Patrick, that knowing your audience is crucial? Because you can talk for a broad audience, which is good, but you may not get a lot of listeners who really know the history that you're talking about. Whereas if you narrow in on like a specific audience, okay, that's good. You kind of pigeonholed yourself into like a niche category. Like you're only talking about Greek mythology, Greek folklore, as opposed to just folklore and mythology in a broad sense in the ancient world.
Well, I think that's a great question, actually. I didn't think about a particular audience when I started. I thought about what it would be like to tell a story like it was being told down at the pub.
Okay.
Like that. So have it. That's why it's quite a casual sort of thing. I think when it came to kind of critiquing and criticizing the podcast on my own end, I go, okay, what do I think worked? What do I think didn't work? What needs improvement? I thought the way that I script my, not only do the research, because I like to research it as accurately as possible, as we've spoken about, but also there's a lot of comedic pokes at the story and pokes
right. at,
like for, through a modern lens. You can have a bit of a laugh at this and that, but also, with that, we looked at it and I was like, okay, I can really use that, the comedic element to make a story, hopefully like someone who doesn't necessarily listen to Greek mythology or resonate with that in before, they're like, okay, I'll have a listen to it and see. In the end, it's a story about this or XYZ. It's a dude
right.
who gets helped up by gods and goddesses to achieve a goal or whatever it is. It's a story straightforward with some fun stuff in between and just some randomness. I think the jury's still out in terms of a broader audience. Like the audience is growing, which is great. It's rather large, which is awesome. Thank you, guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a big old world out there. So I think you're going to hit a point where that you're going to get people who go, oh, I don't want to listen to this one about Greek mythology or this one about
right.
or something like that. And that's fine. That's where it comes down to horses for courses and people who have their particular interests when it comes to history. So, but if we can get them interested and keep them happy for it, because it's always great to learn something and be engaged by something that you weren't interested in or you didn't know you were interested in before. So if we can grab people with some of the extra bits of the podcast, all the better.
Definitely, definitely. And now kind of going into more very serious questions, which I definitely feel are important. So definitely the first question I do want to ask you, Patrick. So as a content creator, as I'm sure you've seen, like there's a lot of other history podcasts, even history YouTube channels that delve into history. Sometimes they focus on medieval and sometimes they focus on other branches. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is the social media has made history accessible, but it's also made it to the point where history can be misinterpreted and said as truth. And that's probably one of the big irks that bothers me as a content creator. And then going forward, we also have film media that depicts history as truth, even though it's not entirely true. I'm going to go more recent, Alexander on Netflix, and they tried to explore Alexander's history. There was a lot of inaccuracies in the depiction of the Persians, the formation of the military. Everything just bothered me. Yet some people say, oh, no, that's accurate. That's accurate. So for you, in your opinion, like how important it is, because as you said, like you want these stories to be fun, engaging, and something that you would tell like at a pub or a bar, but you also want it to be factual and to be educational. So how do you balance sort of like the three E's, as I like to call it, entertaining, educating, and enlightening?
I think the best way to that we do that in terms of presenting the show is having the story. I don't tweak anything about the story because I don't believe in that. I think there's enough, like we said, social media, there's a lot of to Hollywood, for instance, like all Netflix, God, they're terrible at butchering what would be really awesome stories. But I don't believe in, you know, I potentially might misinterpret something like we all do at stages. And I'm
happy
to own my mistakes, as anyone who, you know, any of the avid listeners know, I'm constantly making fun of myself for missing something or misinterpreting something or missing something.
Right.
What I have always looked to do is have the accurate story, and anything that is fun and engaging. I mean, the stories are engaging anyway, I find, but anything that is it's like a comedic element is usually a bit of a poke at the story through a modern lens, because a lot of these stories are written thousands of years ago.
Right. So,
you can afford to have a bit of a cheeky poke, and that's all good. And a lot of the other stuff, is sort of just like just a bit of a caveat on top of it that's a little bit more engaging. Like a lot of the silly sand bites I do is something that often doesn't have anything to do with the, or it does have something to do with the story, but it doesn't take away from the story in any way. It's just a little bit of an enhancement. So I'd like to think that all the funny bits that we do to that and all the extra engaging bits are sort of a bit of a byproduct to go with, or a bit of a side dish, we'll say, to go with the main story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I absolutely agree with 100% everything that you said, which then kind of leads into probably another serious question, but I think it's definitely one to discuss, which is, you know, the establishment of one's platform in the digital world. And I bring this up because I always ask my authors this question and historians this question, who are fellow content creators, which is whenever we create something, we spend hours and hours of research, or even may take years to create something. In the case of being an author, you may write a book that you've spent hours on, money on edits and everything, and you present it to the digital stage, and there's a 50-50 chance that book is not going to be the one that people remember you for. And that kind of can be deflating, but down the road, you make more books, you improve your word as an author, and your seventh book is what people know you for, and you can actually show them that this is my growth. And the reason why I bring this up for podcasters is almost the same thing. We create episodes and episodes, hours and hours of content, edit them. And when we just start out, when we send that video, we promote it on social media, there's always that lingering down of almost like imposter syndrome. Like, what am I doing? Am I actually doing this? And having this doubt in the back of our mind that it's not going to be this, it's not going to be that. And unfortunately, sometimes that is the case. But persevering and keep going through, we see that. So for you, Patrick, how important it is for you, in your opinion, that understanding that there may be a chance that your first episode is really not going to possibly hit with the audience in mind, or at least the vast number of audiences, but you shouldn't use that to deter you in your passion. You should just keep going. And sort of like onto that, what has allowed you to keep going? Like, what is your why? Like, why do you feel that doing this show is important?
All right. So to go about the first thing you touched on, I think it would be incredibly, incredibly naive to think, for myself anyway, the first episode I ever put out would be a banger, like just straight top of the charts, because I'm not known in the digital world. And you know, like that, it's not going to be like an actor who comes out and his or her very first movie is an absolute blockbuster, because you know you gotta have time in the field for that. So
I think, right,
to feel down about if your first episode doesn't go great, I think with my first episode, I think I had in my first week of downloads, I think it was 64 downloads for that first episode.
Not bad.
And for me, I was like, hooray! No one knows me online. This is awesome, because you know, if one person listens, I'm happy. But if anybody feels down, I think this is a thing we can answer to the wider audience. If anybody feels down about, you know, starting something up and having their first thing, whether or not it be a short movie, podcast, a book, not received super well, if you've enjoyed doing it and you've got a goal in mind, keep pushing. That's kind of, yeah, I think you'd be pretty harding yourself to get to be harding yourself straight up off a thing like that. And sorry, what was the second part of the question there, Gabriel? Was that
sorry, you kind of already answered it too, but the second part was for you, Patrick, was pushed you to keep going. Like what has allowed you to keep going? Not allowed you to say, but what has disciplined you to keep going?
Yeah, I think you're right when you say it, in a way it allows you as well, because when it comes, anybody who's creating any sort of content, they could be writing a book, writing a thesis, any we're creating a podcast, doing a short film. If you're the one who's producing it, who's creating it, if it doesn't get done, then if you don't do it, then it doesn't get done. That's the main thing. And if it's something that you're into, it's something you're really passionate about, but, you know, as it does with a lot of things, life gets in the way. So you may not be as enthusiastic about doing some element of it at some point. Nobody likes editing, or at least some stages of editing. It can be really grueling. So you'll find stages where you feel really just like, oh man, I can't believe I'm recording this 2-hour episode on a Friday night. Why am I doing this to myself? But like I said, if you don't do it, it won't get done. So, and it's something that I'm really passionate about. So, and doing it and releasing that, it's a really gratifying thing. Even from the first episode to the 39th episode. I mean, every time I release it, I feel like, in a way, I feel like I've released an essay at uni where you just go, whew, that's done. It's in the can. And now it's up and about, and if people will respond to it, well, that's awesome. So it's the thrill of getting it out, getting something that you're passionate about, and having the drive to do it. Because if it doesn't get done by you, then, you know, it's not going to get done. So you've only got yourself to blame if you don't do it.
Definitely. And I think also it's important to say, I think one of my guests actually said good that if you're passionate about something and you want to make this is that this is something that you would want in your life. If it was a book or an episode that you're making, make this for you as if you were the viewer, if you were the audience. Yes, it's good to create for an audience in mind, but we don't know the audience. They may like the same things or may not like the same things, but make it for you, because at the end of the day, this is something that you're passionate about. Is that something you kind of almost like agree with Patrick, that if you're passionate about something, make it for yourself as if you wanted this growing up?
100%, Gabriel. It's something like, you would know this as well as a podcaster and a writer. You're the one who spends the most time with this content. So if you can't bear this content, you probably shouldn't be making it. So the show was something that I wrote it, and every episode turns out differently. And it's usually something that I'm enjoy listening to, because spoiler alert, like, we're the ones that need to be on the back end of it going through it. And if I wasn't happy with something, then I probably wouldn't release it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think in the end, you've got to be passionate about it. And if you're passionate about it, write what you're into. Like, produce what you're into, because you're going to have a lot more fun while doing it.
Definitely. And also, when you have a supportive group that really, really motivates you and that has your back, is your biggest cheerleader at your worst levels, because that also helps as well, which kind of leads into the last few questions of the interview before I get to the final one. So for you, Patrick, and this is a two-parter, who have been your biggest supporters in your journey as a content creator? And have you ever gotten a sense of validation from fellow podcasters and fellow historians who have listened to your episodes and were impressed and said, this is where you belong? And I bring that up because in any industry, in any field, it's one thing to join it and to show what you've learned in this industry. It's another thing entirely to have your peers see it and recognize the work you've done in the same field.
Yeah, absolutely. Great questions. So in terms of the biggest fans or best response, probably mum and dad. They're great, great listeners and all that. They listen, they love it. But in all seriousness, probably one of my biggest fans would be my wife. She's been super supportive, allowed me to not neglect her and the kids, but definitely set time aside for doing my things. But I think when it comes to a lot of the early listeners that stick around, and even some of the more recent ones, the people who, when it comes to like biggest fans and all, people who validate that that promise that I made to myself and subconsciously to the viewers, of creating that bridge, of having a casual history fan find the show, enjoy it, and want to learn more. And also having the more established researcher come into it and be like, wow, that was pretty cool. That was a pretty fun way of looking at that topic. So you get it from all sides if you do really well. And it's really just validating when people are hitting on what you at your core level you're trying to put out there for the show. So that's super fun. And in terms of our biggest in terms of podcasters and also like Instagrammers and stuff like that, because started getting into a lot of like TikTok reels and no dances though, guys, no dances. Just some skits that are really silly. Although I did do a Motown singing about the hero Bellerophon. That's our most recent episode. Where it's like a three voice part about how he killed his brother and now he's in exile. So just some silly things to complement that. But when you get hearing from other podcasters, either on the socials and all that, they go, "Oh, that was really great" and all that. But in terms of, I guess, long term podcast buddies, I've got to give a shout out to Cloak and Dagger podcast with Will Davis Coleman and Patrick Courtney. I mean, those guys, they started off doing a podcast about assassinations through history, which was really, really fun and good to tell. That's the one I collaborated on with Philip and Macedon. And then they went into talking about histories of cities and then they've gotten into that as well as random stories from history. And I mentioned them because not only do I think they're a really awesome podcast, but we came up, we sort of were born about the same time, and we were giving each other thumbs up and all that really early on, and it's really followed each other and watching each other, how they rise. And they're always one of the first people to be like, to get on and be like, "Mate, that was a great episode. I loved what you said about this and that and how you covered that. It was awesome." So going on with them was awesome. Jamie History as well, hosted by Jamie Graham. He's a really busy guy. He's a really busy historian, as well as he works as a reenactor as well.
Oh, okay.
That's sort of like 14, 1500s reenactments. It's a lot of musket fire and all that jazz, which is really cool. But likewise with him, he was a little bit later than us, but he's just such a genuinely nice guy and he loves what he talks about. And we love talking to him. So, yeah, and we're always giving each other high fives when we release an episode or put out something like that. So having those your sort of podcast peers, but also the higher echelon podcasters, I would say, are probably what would it be, Anthology of Heroes, hosted by Elliot Gates. He sort of he reached out when I made about, I think I was about 3,500 downloads, and he said, "Oh, mate, really awesome. Good to hear." He basically said, "Oh, good to see another Aussie getting out there."
Nice.
He was based in the UK. He's an Aussie bloke, and he's moved back to, I believe it's Melbourne now. So
that was really okay.
Cool. And also just on a sub level, hearing Bob getting approached by yourself to do the episode. And I was like, "Oh, wow, how did you hear about me?" And he goes, "Oh, History with Jackson recommended you." And I follow History with Jackson from a long time back. So I was like, "Oh, wow, that's awesome. It's a really cool thing to get recommended by someone who you esteem as not only a content creator, but also an academic. Like, he's a really switched on bloke, and what he does, I love his content and I love what he puts out there." So it's really cool to have that sort of, that reinforcement, which is, really nice.
Definitely. And shout out to Jackson too. I've actually had him on my show at least three times. Probably the one guest I've had who have been on my show in my early podcast days on Anchor, and most recently on my YouTube, which is fascinating. But as you said, historians, we all want to help one another. We all want to support one another, be it, reenactors, academics, authors, content creators. We all want to support each other's successes. And now that comes leading to the final two questions, Patrick. So looking back at your life right now with everything you've gone through, have you ever thought about how different your life would be if you didn't make the podcast? Where would you be right now in the present?
Cool. Just to touch on what you said before about
sorry, listeners. We've had another slight delay.
Technical interference.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a part two of the episode. If you're wondering why technical issues out of our hands, but we've now reached the final part of the interview with our guest, Patrick, here today. So Patrick, the last two questions I want to ask you are, have you ever thought about how different your life would be if you didn't have the podcast? And what is your word of wisdom to fellow content creators who want to tell history stories?
All right. So if I didn't have the podcast, I would probably be that person who pulls people over in the street to tell them about a certain period person, something like that. I'll be the guy in the pub who's like, you know what you need to listen to or hear about this period. So having the podcast has given me a really good outlet to work that. There's a very good chance that my wife would be wanting to have her own special separate room because I was separately incessantly about that. But yeah, in terms of having that, I've always been a very creative person. I used to write really horrible poetry when I was a teenager, and then I was a frontman in a prog rock band in my 20s. So I've always had a creative outlet. So the podcast has been a really good way to pair my loving of history with also a creative element where I can do my voice and sound effects for the show. That are often little jingles and that, as well as do my reels and TikToks and stuff like that, which allow me to get a little bit more theatrical with some things. So having not being able to do that, I'd probably be a bit more of a random person on the street who you'd probably cross over the other side of the road to avoid getting
right
45-minute chat about why, you know, everyone shouldn't be super, super hot on Alexander the Great and why his dad was a pretty rad dude as well. And we're parting words of wisdom, isn't it?
Yes, parting words of wisdom.
I would say to anybody who's looking, who's interested and wants to start a podcast, write a book, write a play, make a short film, anything like that. But if we're talking podcasts, just start. Start and do it, and it'll work itself out as you go along. Because when it comes to a creative element like that, it's a rather organic and it grows. I remember there was probably about a month and a half when we started doing it, and I thought, oh, I don't know about this. Maybe I should tweak this or do that. And like, just get it out there and do it. That's why the first few episodes are actually quite rough with their audio and all that, because we just wanted to get it out there and start rolling with it. And as if you listen from the beginning, and long-time listeners will know, they can see how the show evolves with its not only its quality, but its themes as well, and presentation, and we're a lot more comfortable with doing it. So it's kind of nice to see where a show comes from. Like what we spoke about in would be part one of this recording, about sort of a first book, and you can steer people back to that and say, hey, this is my growth. This is where I came
from. Right.
So back to the question though, there was there's a few people, friends that I know, that are interested and want to start a podcast. I'm like, oh, I've got to wait until this, and I've maybe got to think about this, and I'm not sure. I'm like, just do it. Just get out there and do it. I remember the interview that you did with TK Nakamura. I think I've got her name right, hopefully. I know her as For the Love of History. She says,
yes,
same thing. Just do it. Get started. And get yourself out there and get what you want to say out there. Because if you're passionate about it and if you're diligent and you've got the drive, I guess, it'll come good. It'll come good to the way you want it. But the hardest thing to do with anything like that is starting. So I would say if you want to do it, just go out there and do it, and it'll evolve into the thing that you that is you. Like your true voice will come out.
Perfect words of wisdom for this interview. And with that, listeners, this concludes our interview with Patrick Lill. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us today and for enduring the hectic technical bugs and issues. You've been a wonderful guest on the show. And where can people find and engage with you on social media? You want to know more about you, be up to date with the latest episodes? And where can people find your podcast on the podcasting apps?
Right. So first of all, Gabriel, thank you very much for having me on. It's as I said from the beginning, it's incredibly humbling to be asked on the show and to chat history with you and to be around the others who have been on before and all that. So incredibly humbling. Thanks for having me on. And don't worry about the technical difficulties. I'm pretty sure that's on the Australian side. We've I think our internet still ranks below Romania. So might fix that at some stage. We'll see. Our government doesn't seem to be interested in that. So sorry, everybody, but we got a two-parter out of it. So
yeah, that's true. We did.
Good. But anybody who's interested in reaching the show, we're on Instagram, TikTok, as well as Facebook, all under A Little History Podcast. And then there's a LinkedIn account linked to that as well, which will get you to all the things. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple Podcasts, Acast, Rcast, anything with a cast on it, really. We'll be on that. Look for the red bronze pottery imagery that was done by the amazing guys at That's Not Canon, a Brisbane-based podcast collective. They were awesome at producing that one. So check it out there. And hope to see you on the show. And again, thanks for having me on.
No problem, Patrick. And I will link all those down below in the description of this video, as well as part one of this interview to see the full discussion with Patrick. And again, listeners, thank you so much for joining us today. And until next time, this has been the Wandering Scribe and the Wandering Quill signing out. And also a big thank you to our guest, Patrick, for joining us today. Patrick, thank you so very much. And until next time, have a wonderful evening, or wonderful day, I should say. It's evening my time.